Hey there, Deadly fans. Well, we're off going to join a hillbilly band. Families are feuding. Willie is gone. And Marcus had probably the best day of his life, followed by the shittiest day of his life. We have a lot to talk about, so take your seats because class is in session.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, Deadly fans? Welcome back to the Deadly Class After Show. We've got a light show going on in this studio right now because we are pumped to be back. It is the last two episodes of the season, and things are starting to just go tits up. Of course, I'm
shits up.
A lot of shit flying around everywhere in this episode. We are your Deadly panel. I'm Veronica Valencia, and joining me to my left, we have
Raven French. Hello.
And Stephen Lemieux.
And Angelica Trey.
We will be breaking down episode 9, Kids, the Black Hole. We're going to be talking all about Lynn and Gal, their backstory, Lynn's family, the consequences of what happened to lying to El Diablo, Marcus, that piece of poop, shit, cheating on everyone, as well as the heist that's about to come, and of course, Willie just ditching his friends. We have so much to talk about, but guys, before we get into any of that, what do we think of this episode?
Shut the fuck up, Mike. That's what I think. Mike, that kid.
The kid.
Honestly, that enraged me, too.
So much! Yep. I was like, kid, just shut up, leave us alone.
Yes, I thought this episode was kind of, it was interesting in the way that everyone felt a little bit like a villain, sort of, in this one. At least that's my overall take. Everyone essentially was making a lot of mistakes here. We saw, obviously, tensions were rising in the last episode, and then this one, we're seeing a lot of people sort of betray each other, manipulate, and a lot of those. So it's been a tumultuous episode leading up to this next one.
It's been like a train wreck starting to happen, mm-hmm. that you just feel really bad because I'm like, Nolan, no. Yeah. And then Saya like leaving her post because you like knew that she was going to do it and you're like, no. And then everything that just happens, you're just like, no.
I do have to say though, it was surprising, and obviously we're going to get into it, but it was surprising of who it ended up being compared to who we thought it would have been.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be in that way. I mean, last episode I mentioned that I think if El Diablo ever found out that Lynn was lying about how he calmed him down, that there would be hell to pay. Because I think that's like a big betrayal of like, not a friendship, but like, you don't, it's like kind of stolen valor in a way. Like somebody saying like, oh, you're a Marine. Yeah, I'm a Marine. I understand. And then they're not. Like,
yeah, it's showing disrespect.
Yes.
If you lie, that's not respecting that other person.
Huge disrespectful moment. I didn't think it would come this quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of a little bit forgot about him. I like the buildup of this show that it was, I'm a little paranoid about things. And I just felt like all the times, what's about to happen? Something's about to happen. Because it felt quiet, but you knew that it was building up. And Marcus is behind every single thing. It seems like everything that's bad, he's a part of in some kind of way.
Just the worst, right?
Yeah. He's Dennis the Menace to me of the school.
He is the center of all of the negative attention. And kind of piggybacking off of what you're saying, Raven, I feel like this episode was very interesting to see the role reversals of how Master Lin kind of became someone who, you know, played up the hype of, you know, I run a school for assassins. You can do what you want. You can get your revenge and, you know, all this stuff. But he obviously was someone who didn't even live up to that. And Marcus realizes it and is now picking up that mantle and kind of leading his own team to fulfill his life's goals and his missions.
Is he, though?
Kind of.
I mean, he's fulfilling his own selfish mission at the moment. He's not even fulfilling, like, his idealistic mission. It's like, you know,
it's a mission.
If he was like, hey, Saya and all you guys, let's burn it all to the ground, get the C4, blow up the White House, kill Reagan, you'd be like, okay, Marcus is doing his thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like, hey, so this guy that I did a half measure and didn't manage to kill at the orphanage is now trying to steal my rep. Oh, by the way, my rep is fake and that's why I'm here. Oh, by the way, I really messed up and now he has Shabnam's parents and, you know, things are bad and we have to go invade the place. And did I mention we're trained like a SWAT team? Oh, wait, we're not.
Yeah, it's a big oops what it was leading up to. But I was thinking that as well, where it felt really selfish, but I think Marcus was sort of, he was defining it as, let's get this monster off the street. So it's almost like a public service now.
And it exposes not, all of them.
Well, I was going to say, he's not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, he's brought literally everyone into his shit. Pun jar. He's literally brought everyone into his shit because, honestly, Fuckface was just a problem for Marcus. But then once Fuckface got Chico's body, now it's a problem for Maria. And if it's a problem for Maria, then it's a problem for everyone who went to Vegas. And already it's a problem for Saya because Saya is Marcus is Saya's Mark. So if he gets screwed over by Fuckface, then she goes down for it. So it's just like, he's just a magnet for shit.
How can, question, how will exposing Chico's body have let them know that it was Maria that did it, though? Are they assuming Fuckface watched her kill him? Or well, did I miss a moment?
It could easily...
I think it's just easily, like, once there's a body in play, it's really kind of easy to figure things out. When everyone went to Vegas, Fuckface was in Vegas, there's lots of things that you can start tying together. The murder started happening in Vegas. Like,
and clearly we see that El Diablo is very intelligent at finding and putting clues together.
Yeah, he's not incompetent.
Yeah,
he's just a bad person.
Very bad person.
Yes.
But he has his reasons. He's operating out of a place of fear.
It runs, as is a many beer on the show.
Yeah, the apple didn't fall far from that tree.
Let's dive a little deeper into Lynn and Gao, because we really got to see their feud and their differences shine or come to light in this episode. And basically we see how Lynn's wife is telling him, you need to do what you need to do to protect our family because their secret is out. What did we think Lynn's objective would be to try and save his family?
Can I just ask a question? Because it was confusing for me.
Sure.
The cartoon backstory for Lynn, it was Gao being taken to China, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah,
yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because it was like...
It was kind of confusing slightly in the sense that it came after they were talking about Naya, so you would think, oh, maybe it's about Naya.
Well, that, and I just thought they were closer in age. I didn't think he would be like 6'4 in this flashback and her be like a 8-year-old. Like, I didn't know they were 12 years apart or more than that. So that was what was confusing. Plus, the girl looked so much like Gao in the past looked like a cartoon version of Naya.
Mm-hmm.
Was I the only one kind of confused on that?
No, it made sense. I can see where you're coming from with that.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, my question I pose to you guys is, do you honestly think, though, that Gao would harm Naya? She's been through the pain of losing a child. Do you really think she would inflict that pain on someone else?
Yes.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
No.
Please explain.
She has no connection to the child.
Mm-mm.
She's been taken out of the child's life entirely. To her, I think it's a ghost. Lynn's wife and daughter are a ghost that are preventing her brother from reaching the heights that she wants him to reach. And it's less of, like... It's less of like, oh, now I can establish a relationship with my niece, or, hey, let's get her into the assassin club, or any of this. I think it's more like, all right, well, you've wanted to say that you're this for so long, you've used this as your stepping stool, as your rep for so long, let's make it real. Now let's see what you do once your daughter and wife are killed. Now let's see the Lynn that you were supposed to be. Let's see if you become my brother. She says it to his face, like, I respected you. And I think it was more she respected him when she thought that he was somebody who has gone through terrible experiences just like her and come out of them on top.
See, but I don't think she ever truly believed that, though. Right?
I think she did, yeah. I think for sure she did.
That the daughter was dead?
That the family was dead until she started getting involved in more things at King's Dominion.
No, I didn't think she believed it either. It seemed ever? Like she was crying a lot. She would always ask about her. I felt like she thought something was up.
Well, it kind of goes back to what everyone has been saying, is that when a parent loses a child, they emit these kind of emotions and a certain behavior. And obviously, those people have kind of sniffed out that Lynn doesn't have that type of behavior. So that's why I would assume she didn't believe him.
So is this to say that El Diablo and Gao aren't actually mad at Lynn? They just are inviting him to the Dead Children's Club? Sorry, I said it with too much of a straight face.
The Dead Children's Club. Oh, sounds so fun.
I mean, that's where El Diablo's at right now. That's where Gao's at right now. And if you're saying, like, there are two people who would sniff it out, and maybe, and this is just a big total maybe, What if Gao had nothing to do with El Diablo being in his house?
I can see that too. Again, just the fact that El Diablo is very
smart.
Smart.
Competent. Yeah.
Yeah, competent.
Mm-hmm. Be interesting.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think just going back to the whole backstory and going along with that, I didn't expect that sort of backstory. I think so far from what we've seen like heavy character development on a specific character in these backstories. I thought it was interesting. It was adding to the dialogue of Gao being damaged and how Lin sort of sacrificed her, and maybe juxtaposing that with his daughter, Naya, as well. I think that Gao is coming from, you know, a damaged place, and she obviously is pretty bitter from losing her child, but I don't think she would harm Naya.
I don't think she would either. I think she understands the pain of losing a child, and this is her niece. I think that she's very mad and angry over the fact that Lin not only kept her family from her for as long as they have been around, but also I think that she's mad that Lin didn't save her, didn't help Gao, and is doing all of this to try and save his family. I think she feels very forgotten and left behind.
She thinks Lin is weak, and partially because of his family. To me, she's been evil from jump. I feel like it's consistent that she would, especially the dinner table Diablo scene happened after they were already trying to kill each other.
Right.
So at this point,
I mean, it's
but if she is evil, like you say, I think then the evil was created, and we saw that in the backstory with Lin.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting when you look at the backstory, especially Lin's relationship with his father, whose voice was terrifying, by the way, mm-hmm. and Lin's relationship with his daughter now. Because Lin's father basically said, there's nothing to talk about, this is what's happening, we're sending Gao off. Which, it's his daughter, so it has the same feelings attached. It's a father and a daughter. But I think Gao might be jealous and resentful of Lin for making a different choice than her father.
That makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. honestly. Like, I think Gao had the shitty end of the stick in this entire family, and the fact that, you know, the person that she probably cared a lot about and think that would always have her back or help her out has been lying to her and hasn't helped her in any of this.
And now he's trying to kill her.
And now he's trying to kill her because, she's after him. He has reason to think that she's very dangerous to his family, and obviously he wants to keep his family alive.
I mean, I'm going to say that, like, if I had a sister and I went and visited and her apartment was full of people being furniture, I would not allow my niece contact with that sibling. It's pretty self-explanatory. She only has herself to blame.
But is that... That's only because of the guild.
That is.
Yeah.
But, like...
That's who she is, though.
What does she expect? Does she expect Lin to, like, come forward with her after she's already been through that process and be like, hey, by the way, I have my daughter? Like, no. Like, so it only makes sense that he was keeping it a secret. She shouldn't be upset about that fact, because I feel like she would even understand that, because she wouldn't want to be sent... She wouldn't have wanted to be sent off like she was as a kid. Mm-hmm. I think it's more just like, screw you. You're not going to send your daughter, but you didn't help me.
Right.
Like, yeah. I think you guys are right on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know I think we've already kind of hit it, but just like a simple yes or no. Do we think either Gao is evil and will continue to sprout darkness? Or do we think that there is a chance of her just, you know, wanting to feel needed or to feel saved?
Gao.
Evil or potentially good?
I think she, like I mentioned a little bit ago, I think she was, the evil was created. You know, I think that she was sent off and now she feels like it's unfair. She's lost a child. Lin, her brother, has been lying to her, and now he's betraying her by trying to murder her. I think that Gao is not necessarily someone that you know, was just created into this evil monster who's, like, even trying to kill his family or anything. But rather, Gao is just sort of doing her job, setting order, and this is what her whole life has led up to. She was created. She was made this way. It was nurture.
So before we even get into nurture versus nature, can I just ask the simple question? Is she evil right now? Yes or no?
No.
No. So she's not evil right now. Okay, got it.
But I know we've been talking about how it doesn't help that Lin is choosing everyone else over Gao. It also doesn't help that she's also, in a sense, choosing Saya over Gao, because this episode we finally get a little piece of their relationship and what it is. Because in the beginning, they obviously had some kind of secret relationship, and now we finally figure out what's going on. And it's that he promised Saya's dad he would take care of her. But at the same time, he's also just kind of using her as a weapon whenever he needs her.
Let's be honest, like, Saya would have been totally shot to death. Like, El Diablo shows up with two Cadillacs, five guys.
You don't think Saya could have held her own against...
She's got a samurai sword, and she's 15.
Hey, maybe that katana could deflect bullets, okay?
All right?
No.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, he sent her to die.
Also, let's not forget that Gao was going to straight up kill Lin in that scene. I say Gao is completely cut familial ties.
She's defending herself.
I think she came to take over, and she is a by any means necessary. Wherever it comes from, all of ours, something comes from somewhere. But it still is what it is.
Did she say she was going to kill Lin?
I mean, that's literally why she had Victor and Brandy there.
Did she say, she said, now your students are going to kill you? Did I miss this? She was confronting him. She was confronting him.
Do you really think that she was not going to kill him in that scene? Like, that
she was just going to have a chit chat?
I'm just saying she was defending herself.
She seemed calm, if that makes sense.
She always does.
Calm for how you would expect her to react.
She's always calm before the storm, though.
If you make your brother walk through a tiny little door, and then you have people with a sigh and, like, weapons to kill them with, and the last thing you say to them is, I respected you. Those are last words to say to somebody before you kill them.
Yes, agreed.
I'm speaking hypothetically.
You know what? It very well could have happened.
I think she's evil. I think she's cut off familial ties. I think it's all for the guild. Yes. Indoctrination is real, and it's something that people cannot escape out of on their own. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Gao, without something outside, maybe something like she'll grow a heart to save Naya's life or something like that. Mm-hmm. But for now, evil.
Why would she want to save Naya's life now? Like, Lin is clearly just trying to get her. Like, he never even once tried to
control Lin.
Will she I was gonna ask, will she feel sympathy now that he has lost someone? Or, like Steven is saying, is she just done? Has she just cut familial ties?
I think she's done.
I would feel pretty betrayed if my brother tried to kill me after I found out the truth that he's been lying to me about for years.
Yeah, she's done.
I would not trust that person. I would not trust my brother.
My real question is, bring it back to your Saya question, is Saya in the same position that Gao was in as a child?
Being forced into some kind of
like her father sending her off, and this is like the opposite end on that. Because, like, Lin, for all intents and purposes, is what his father was to the guild. Is it like a foreign exchange program? Hey, you take my triad, I'll take your Yakuza.
I thought her dad died. Did I misread that?
I think her dad did die, but, like, she's in his care. Like, I don't know. I'm curious, like, is she supposed to be getting some other form of training? Is he supposed to be basically brainwashing her into the guild, and he's not?
I think he very well might be, because what's the point of keeping it so hush-hush and secret? But who knows? Who knows? I think, you know, obviously there's so much going on with the family feuds, but there's also going a lot going on with our characters as they're getting ready to take on a heist. But before we get into the heist and everything going on with these crazy relationships, we have a special announcement for everyone. That's for you.
Cannonball. I've already done that.
You did that last week.
Damn it. I'm recycling jokes, everybody. Well, as long as you guys don't join the Dead Parent Club, or no, the Dead Kid Club, we're going to be talking all about TV on AfterBuzz TV all the time. And we do over 100 different shows a week here. So if you guys are a fan of drama, comedy, or anything else on Earth in terms of TV, we probably have an after show for it. And you can help us out by subscribing to our channels and commenting and hitting that thumbs up button. So if you're watching this video right now, whether it's live or whether it's not live, hit that thumbs up button. And then, this is very important. Put on your serious faces, everybody.
They're on.
You need to go to the iTunes app under podcasts and search for Deadly Class Reviews. Mm-hmm. And give us a rating and a comment.
Hopefully a 5-star rating, right?
You need to do that.
Fuckface wins if we don't get a 5-star rating. I mean, some of you might actually want Fuckface to win, but either way.
Honestly, but, after dealing with Marcus, maybe.
After dealing with Marcus, honestly. But yeah, thanks for supporting the show, and we will continue to produce them for you guys because we love doing it.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, we really love and appreciate that you tune in with us live every week and leave us comments on the YouTube videos after, as well as checking us out on iTunes. I just want to give a few shout-outs to our fans in the live chat right now. Shout-out to Jeff K. Hunt, Mila Casca. What did I say? Was that...
No, you said it the way you should have.
You got it.
I got duped by that once before and it happened again. Okay, whatever. It's already, we say fuckface on the show. It's fine. Milo Casco, Renji 90998, William Carr, Purple Cupfish, Billie Jean Girl 24, Chase Daughtry, Ryan D, and Alyssa Ramos. And I'm sure there might be more of you up there, but for right now, that's what I'm seeing right now. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it, guys.
Hell yeah.
Are you done laughing at me, Steven? Because I got duped.
I never laughed at you.
I don't think you got duped. I think
you're think you covered it the way you should. We're laughing because you dodged it. We're proud.
Thank you.
Good job.
I tried. All right, guys, let's talk about this heist.
So what is the heist?
They're clearly...
Mission, right?
It's a mission. Why do I keep calling it a heist?
I don't know. I think
we're stealing jewels here.
I keep thinking
well, they're stealing back Chico's head. Boom, I fixed it.
They're stealing Shabnam's house back.
Are you likening Chico to a jewel? To a gem?
I mean, he is very lovely.
He's a diamond.
In an ice bucket.
Expect that someone will die? They look like stooges to me right now.
Oh my God, his whole family is going to die. Like
out of the kids in this confrontation.
He killed Jimmy John, of course. Oh wait, no. Jimmy John died.
Ooh, guys, the stakes are very high. We lost Jaden this season.
Oh, we did.
Jaden.
We must never forget Jaden.
But yeah, if we're going to take a deadly classer out, who do we think deadly classer that's most likely? Let's give our little, what do they call it at the end of the year? When
Superlative.
Most likely to die in the finale of Deadly Class. Oh, who do we think it is?
I don't know who you guys think it could be if it were to happen.
Lex. Yeah,
I think he gets his ass blown up.
Let's do Billy, too.
Billy?
Yeah.
I don't think Billy.
I know, but it might be more heartfelt if it was Billy.
It'd be more heartbreaking.
Yeah, true. I feel like Lex definitely, because he wasn't even into it in the first place. But
unless we're going to continue this whole love triangle thing with Petra, I think Lex is the most expendable. I can just picture this guy's like he's on the walkie-talkie. Lex, you ready with those explosives? I'm ready, mate. Blows himself up.
So he doesn't know how to use explosives.
No, it's just
he
like
doesn't
it's
get them, but not
he
use
sets
them.
A timer, but he got it from a guy named Cactus Jack. Come on,
everyone knows a Cactus Jack.
I think Lex is blown his own ass up next episode.
What if it's Maria?
No.
I feel like, I mean, she's got Diablo after her now.
Maria does have a lot of
baggage.
She's got...
She can get...
She can join
the
Chico.
Last couple episodes, she has gotten herself into situations where people want to come after her.
She also posted a picture on Instagram today, even though it was down, of her not wearing the beast. And I'm like, foreshadowing.
Wait, what was she wearing? Was it the club scene?
No, I think it was just a picture of her with the beast, but foreshadowing.
Ooh,
I don't think they kill Marita. I feel like she has so much character growth for seasons 2 through
I feel like she has a lot to mm-hmm. get done.
But I definitely think there's going to be some crazy shit going on in the mission due to bad decisions made in this episode. Mm. But they got the explosives and the C4. I just don't think kids plus C4 equals a good mix.
Right. No.
Especially when their plan is like, guys.
No, but they think that they're better trained to take down this band of hillbillies.
Dude, they literally, like, hid the C4 in the comic book shop. Like, they don't have any resources other than a damn comic book shop. Like, and get this, it wasn't a door. It was literally a piece of fabric that, like, blocked the doorway.
Anyone could walk in.
Like, I was expecting dumbass Mike to find the explosives.
Me too. Yeah, well, I don't know about this group.
Well, let's talk about the explosives and the comic book shop and how basically we finally see Saya enjoying herself and Marcus enjoying herself. In fact, we kind of see everyone enjoying themselves for the first time in a while.
Weak-ass mosh pit.
Yeah, very weak-ass mosh pit, apparently. But it was fun for them.
It was a punk mosh pit.
Don't
it was,
rain on their parade.
It was teen night at the punk concert.
What do they do like in the punk mosh pits? I might be thinking ska right now, but like, you know, there's like jerking. Isn't that one?
I'm sure there's jerking in the mosh pits.
It's less hardcore than a metal show.
Oh, yeah, it's not like a metal show.
No throwing elbows, at least.
Oh, that's good. That's good. No death.
Yeah.
All right. What did we? I know a lot of fans have either been Team Saya or Team Maria. We've obviously seen Marcus with Maria. We finally get some action with Saya and Marcus. What did we think of that?
No. Even though I am Team Saya, not like that. Not cool.
And so you don't, Raven, you don't want to see them like together or just you don't like seeing how it happened?
I don't like seeing how it happened. Maria's too fragile. She will kill them both. With her fan, and not cool.
He was a jerk. Like he was all in to try and help her before it all happened, and then he goes and he sees that she is struggling, having a hard time, and he just bails. What a jerk! Like I get,
I'd be in the same shoes for Marcus, not in the latter half of the episode, but like. Literally with Maria, like her drinking and all that kind of crap, and then she literally is like, let's stay in tonight together, and then he walks in the room and she's halfway through an entire bottle of vodka. It's like, you know, she didn't sign up for that. Like, obviously I don't think he should have cheated on her. That's not right. What I'm saying.
No,
but like you don't put somebody in a position where it's like, all right, hey, let's spend the night together. Here's all my problems for 8 hours.
Okay, but did she sign up to fight some hillbillies? Was C4? Come on now.
She protected him against Lynn.
When you enter deadly class, you sign up to fight hillbillies with C4.
No.
Do you sign up to take up other people's baggage?
Here's the real question. Yeah. Whose fault is it that he cheated? Is it Saya or Marcus's?
Both.
Marcus.
To the tango. Well, she initiated. How? And he seemed drunk when he came to.
They were wasted.
Like he didn't know.
She pounced on him. She's a deadly assassin. She knows the art of deadly lovemaking. Ass.
Just.
Got her.
I can't with you. I just wanted to point out a comment you made, Angelica, when we were watching this episode was, I feel like Saya didn't do that because she likes Marcus. I think she was doing it to avoid having him open the door to her past.
Right. For the most part, I mean, even their first kiss was basically a manipulative measure. You know, when Saya first kissed Marcus on top of the building to get him into King's Dominion in the first place, to manipulate his need for familiarity with another human being. She's just trying to manipulate him into not prying.
She still knows how to hold her ground and say no. She's a strong
female. I don't think it's that. It's like, if we didn't have any of the scenes with the ride to Vegas or any like the side eye from Maria and Marcus being together, I'd think, okay, she's just doing it as a manipulation tactic.
She's doing a Petra.
But they had the moment in the garden 2 episodes ago. It's just...
But all that side eye, do you think it's jealousy or do you think it's, wow, they're being really stupid. They're getting themselves into some really, like, bad stuff. They're being dumb and letting their guard down. Do you think she just thinks they're dumb?
I think she likes Marcus.
I think she likes Marcus.
I don't think Maria actually likes Marcus.
I think Maria likes Marcus.
Maria freaking loves Marcus.
She does love Marcus.
But why? Is it like love or is it like...
Okay, tell her how she really feels. Well, she protected him.
Let me mansplain love to Maria right now.
She protected him from Lynn in the very beginning of this episode. Clearly, Maria is... She's going through a lot, but she's trying her best, you know, to be a good girlfriend, but she's struggling as a human, you know, just trying to be balanced. I think that it's not her fault at all. She's just struggling with it. And Marcus, there was definitely a contract there, an exclusivity contract, and you saw it with Maria. She was not okay with Saya kissing Marcus previously. So Marcus knowingly doing all of that is just a huge betrayal.
No, I don't think she loves Marcus. I think she needs to feel, and she gets that through now drinking. She gets that through whatever person, and not, I mean, she's had a life, so it's understandable. I don't think she has the capacity to love in the love sense of the word. Yeah. I think she just needs something, and he provides something pure.
Her entire world is falling apart around her, and he's the only thing that she's, like, able to latch on to. I don't think it's from a place of love. I think it's from a place of survival.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I mean, some would argue love is survival.
Hmm. It's the darkest thing you've ever said.
Really? And not even the Chico thing? Yeah, I do that a lot during the what is it, the TV watching, the show the watching, the watch-alongs that we do.
I still think there's a place deep down in Maria that truly does care for Marcus as a person and loves him genuinely. I think that has just been consumed and overtaken by
her
depression and her fear of losing him.
Maybe if she took her medication, she'd be a little bit better right now. But she's not. I don't think Saya or Maria are, like, good matches. I don't think any of those people should be together. I think, literally, all of these people are the worst people for each other. Maybe Billy and Petra are, like, a thing, but, like...
No, I still don't ship that either.
Marcus is a ticking time bomb, honestly, basically, at this point. Yeah, he's just ruining everything at this point. He's descending into villainhood, honestly.
I love that Lynn's speech in the beginning, basically, and it wasn't the speech in the beginning, it was after everyone leaves and it's just him and Marcus. And he tells Marcus, like, everyone as a teen wants to burn the world down and everyone wants to do their own thing and just raise it to the ground, but nobody does. Why is the world still here and why are there still adults and why is everything fine? It's because everyone realizes at a certain point in their life that they're only human and they have to live within the means that society gives them. And it was describing Lynn putting himself in the position of where he is now, but mm-hmm. it's also like, what do you think is going to take for Marcus to get that? Or... do we think that Mark is the one outlier that'll actually go out in a blaze of glory, destroying everything around him? Because he's doing a fine job so far.
Right. Yeah. Well, let's talk more about Marcus. And after he cheated on Maria going into the comic shop, this inner monologue, the puking, the eating the burrito, and then shitting himself. Just everything in general.
That could have been in a comic form, too.
Honestly, that's cool. Saturday night.
It was like the seven stages of grief all in, like, mm-hmm. one run. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, that was stupid, but she's good for me. She's the best role for me. Like, it just, it worked itself out. It was a really cool shot scene, too.
It was.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the cinematography in this episode was really cool.
Yeah.
That scene was great. How they shot with Lynn Gao and Lynn's wife in the end was really great shot. Mm-hmm. Just the whole blocking for that set was really well done for that scene.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the blocking has a total graphic novel comic feel to it. Yeah. Sort of capturing that action.
Which I love. The red screens. Just the more you can make it feel like a comic, the more... it's just a pretty aesthetic, and the more a comic book reader would love it. I can safely say it's not a spoiler to say that Marcus shitting himself did happen in the comics, and I was really, once they introduced Marcus and Willie kind of working at the comic book store, I was really hoping that they would include this because it's hysterical. It's kind of what he deserved after everything that happened. I loved it. I was so funny.
Instant karma.
Marcus did a good deed today, though. He took that burrito out of that lady's hands. She could have been the one shitting in the comic book store. He saved her.
Yeah,
he saved her.
I thought that was like a weird hangover thing that I wasn't sure.
What, just shitting yourself?
I don't know.
Is that normal for you, Angelica?
Well, now I don't know.
Want to get a hangover.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I figured that. But okay, it makes more sense with the burrito. Some bad chicken or something. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like after you hit up Cactus Jack, that's what happens. explosive diarrhea from Cactus Jack.
Well, I was just going to say, obviously, this trio, this love triangle of Marcus, Saya, and Maria is obviously going very, very south. But what do we think of our other couple on the horizon and then Willie's decision to try and flee King's Dominion? Good or bad? You think it's going to come back to haunt him?
I think it's the best thing for his character, and nothing will go wrong. And he will live happily ever after in the cheap and well-deserved future place of Los Angeles, where sunshine and rainbows are everyday occurrence.
Despite your sarcasm.
You know the answer to this.
No. What I was going to say is, despite Steven's sarcasm, I'm genuinely curious if Willie could just leave and not have anyone come after him. Because obviously, it seems very, he doesn't know this, but it seems like a very viable option right now because Lynn is completely preoccupied with all this other stuff. I don't think he's going to be chasing down fleeing students. But also, if this was something that came up earlier, would something have happened to it? Would he be forced to come back? Would someone try and kill him? I'm very curious.
If you're going to try to get out of gang wars, let's say going from San Francisco to Los Angeles is not the way to do it.
Yes. Like, isn't he from...
They're in San Francisco right now. But, like, if even not taking the Crips and Bloods, like, even they have charters in L.A., San Francisco, like, go down to San Diego. They're still there. Like, you'd have to go to freaking Iowa, bumfuck Iowa, to get away from any kind of gang relations or people knowing who you are.
But it's romantic. It's La La Land, where dreams come true.
The girl is changing my mind. I'm changing my mind about the girl now. I don't know.
Oh, you don't think she's shady?
I can't tell anymore now.
I think she's just getting... She's ready to put on a red shirt.
No.
Getting ready to put on a red shirt. Gabrielle is not surviving the finale.
No, I think she'll be fine, but she's going to leave Willie.
I think so.
You think she'll leave him after leaving with him now?
He has so much baggage.
She had a place in San Francisco, which, what does this girl do?
Right? I think Willie gets his moment where he finally can't help himself from getting involved in something like what he ignored this episode, mm-hmm. which killed him to do it. Mm-hmm. He gets involved. Maria's the one that gets shot. And he goes ballistic and kills everyone. And then realizes that King's Dominion's where he belongs.
So you think he goes on a massacre?
Like, if it were those four guys, I think he kills all four of those guys in a blind rage.
All four of who? The
guys at the gas station?
Like, I'm giving an example. Like, if it was those four guys at a gas station and Gabrielle got killed by them, I think blind rage Willie goes all out and kills them all.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he's definitely going to have something that would eventually set him off. I think Gabrielle could very well possibly be that thing.
Yeah.
To set him off. That person.
Not to break fourth wall on filming, but like, I don't think they're going to be trying to film Willie in Los Angeles for season two. I think it's like, let's just keep it.
Yeah, I thought alternatively, Willie was going to just kind of be haunted by his decision and come back around. And then Gabrielle was just going to probably have some second thoughts and just, you know, realize that Willie is kind of a downward slope here. And she needs to get out of it. Exactly, in Willie's words.
It is true that Willie has a very toxic friendship with Marcus. And Willie was obviously starting to see that and wanted to try and look out for himself and not always have to be in Marcus's baggage. And so I like the fact that he kind of took time to want to get away from all of that. But obviously, it's more than just Marcus. And I think he will go back to help them.
I think for sure he goes back to help them.
Yeah.
Do you think it's at the cost of his relationship with Gabrielle?
Well, I don't know. It was his decision. It's not like she was saying, Willie, come with me to L.A. And if he chooses to go back, then he loses her. He's the one dragging her to L.A. So would it make that much of a difference if he said, oh, Gabrielle, I really need to get back to San Francisco. You know, my friends need me.
But she wants him out of that group.
Yeah, because his friends to her are not King's Dominion. His friends to her are gangbangers. Mm-hmm. So it's not a justified reason for her. They're not friends. They're gangbangers.
Right. Yeah.
So I think she leaves him over it. Or she dies, and we get Hell Yeah, Willie.
Either way, we don't see Gabrielle in the future.
No.
We don't see her anytime.
Because now she has nothing to go back to.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't quite fit into this world, into Willie's world, even if he's trying to create a different, you know, essentially a different world, a different life. I still don't think Gabrielle's going to quite fit into that, and she's going to realize that. She is, you know, her own character. We haven't seen her too much, but we know she's pretty strong-willed, and we know she's opinionated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shabnam.
Oh.
I want to pin that right there, because obviously there's so much that what happened this episode. There's so much that's going to happen next episode because it's the season finale, and I think we should try and get into some rapid-fire predictions.
now, you're after Buzz TV.
So everyone saw that Shabnam was recording.
Yes.
Set up
yes.
a recording device. Just making yes. everyone saw that. Was that video or audio?
Audio.
So an 8-track.
They didn't say anything incriminating that he didn't already know.
Well, we don't know what happened. I mean, Fuckface is probably going to bring up, like, oh, you couldn't even make her feel good. I'm not even going to say
that. That was a good actual impression. Honestly, I like that.
I'm glad you said actual. It makes actual me feel really good about all of my other impressions.
That was my favorite.
I feel
think.
Really great right now.
That's my
favorite. Insecurities overflowing.
No, it's my favorite. Good job. Go you.
What do you think is going to happen?
I'm wondering, can this even be an hour long? This is not, do we know?
Oh,
it's an hour long, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There, it's going to happen. It's going to be action packed. There's going to be the heist or the mission going down here. We're probably going to see Shabnam's home, regardless of how wrecked it already is, it's going up in flames. I'm feeling this. And just going along with that, I think Gao is probably going to be lurking, you know, sort of in the shadows. I don't know if we're going to see her, honestly, for the rest of this, maybe this next episode in terms of predictions. And yeah, I think Fuckface is a tough character. I think he's going to get away.
I think Gao and Fuckface have to get together in some way, shape, or form. Lin has Ooh. To get back control over King's Dominion. If Gao's on the run, that'll be easier for Lin to do. I don't think she's necessarily on the run from fear. It's more just on the run to reconsolidate her forces because the mm-hmm. people that she thought were her cronies were not. Mm-hmm. I think that when they use the C4 on Shabnam's house, Fuckface is out front and the entire house blows up and kills everyone inside of it. I think it's like no questions. They just don't know how to use explosives and it's just going to blow the whole damn house up. Damn, that's a barbecue! Like
there it is.
Yeah, there he's just gonna be out front and like not even realize what's really going on until like Marcus shows up. We'll have the showdown, he'll get away. I don't know what the big moment at the end's gonna be. It has to be something with El Diablo. Mm-hmm. I think so. I think we get rid of El Diablo, and I think Maria survives.
Maria!
Out of all the storylines that I could see going into second season, I'd love for El Diablo to be a big player, but I think this season was too much about Chico and too much about the repercussions of killing Chico mm-hmm. that it would make sense to take out El Diablo altogether before season two starts.
Really?
Good stuff.
I thought they were going to keep around the cartel Diablo as, you know, some looming factor as well as Gao. And
cartel's different. Diablo's
is
one.
I think there's a lot of looming antagonists in this show.
I think they're going to continue this.
It's the new soap opera, yeah. Looming Antagonists.
Yes. We'll get to see Willie kill someone. Don't know who.
You're really rooting for this.
She's really hoping for that.
She's been rooting for this since episode one.
He already killed his dad. What more therapy could he need, Raven?
Well, he's being pressed. You saw his face when he was driving. I just feel like they're building up to it. I'm not asking for it.
You're going
to
kill Gabrielle?
I just feel like.
Are you not asking for it?
I feel like it's going to happen. Maybe the heist definitely will be accidental because they just look like a band of stooges at this point. I can't imagine. And no one can fight except Saya. Maria's good. I don't know about Lex and everyone. I would agree that if someone's going to die, it would be a character like Lex, which would be sad. And
God, she's so bloodthirsty.
But, right.
No, we have changed her. King's Dominion has changed you.
King's Dominion changes everybody. Well, guys, I'm not going to say anything, but if it's going where I think it might go, it's very exciting.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And on that note, that is unfortunately all the time we have for tonight. Thank you so much for tuning into the Deadly Class After Show. Guys, next week is the season finale, and we really want a season two because this show is just so dang good. So tweet, watch it, talk about it, get the word out about it. We want a season two. And everyone, for tonight, where can the fans find you on social media?
Well, I'm Angelica Trey. You can find me on most social media platforms at A-Trey, hey. A-Y-Y-T-R-A-E-A.
I'm Stephen Lemieux at S-T-E-P-H-E-N-L-E-M-I-U-X. You can find me intentionally shitting myself later.
Ooh,
I don't think any of us look forward to that, but okay.
No. He's
I'll
already
be live
started.
Streaming it.
He's already started,
so
honestly.
So tune into that later.
Yes, I'm Raven French on all social media platforms. You can find me there.
And again, I'm Veronica Valencia. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at It's Me, Veronica V. Again, thank you, Deadly fans, so much for joining us tonight. We will be back next week for the season finale. So we'll see you then.
Send us your shitting yourself videos.
No.
New talent.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.